Senator John Edwards is once again a presidential candidate. If you have been following some of the news about him and some others, you probably saw that he made some news about a week ago. He was in an interview and he was talking about his faith. He said, and this is a quote, when his 16-year-old son died, his faith came roaring back. Many, many times someone will talk about their faith, or they will say, my faith. Faith, as you look at it, it can be a personal thing. Faith is also something that can be a congregational thing. When Peter wrote to Christians in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he listed a number of Christian characteristics that we want to study. But before we get to those characteristics, Peter talked about your faith. He uses those words. And today we want to think about this part of what the apostle said. This lesson, if you picked up an outline copy of it, is entitled, I believe, Our Faith. What if someone asked us about our faith? What would we say? How would we describe it? What kind of faith do we have? What kind of faith can we have? Or we might put the question this way, what kind of faith do others have? As we look at the Bible, we find that a great deal is said about faith. A beginning point is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus, as he looked at life, knew that there would be some people who would be consumed by worry. He spoke of folks who would literally be overcome by concerns and anxiety. And really what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6:30 is related to people who were looking at life from their own strength, thinking that they could do things on their own. And there are some people who think that they can get along just fine. They do not need God because their own abilities allow them to be self-sufficient. Well, here's what Jesus said about that way of life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, towards the end of the chapter. But if God does so clothe the days, the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow, is cast into heaven, shall he not so much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Jesus warns us that people who trust in themselves have little faith. This is certainly not the only time that we read in the Bible of little faith. There are other passages as well. As we look at Matthew chapter 26, we have some information and a couple of other verses that deserve attention. In Matthew 6, verse 26, Jesus talked about the birds of the heaven. And he said that they, as they look at their lives and their existence, they're able to get by. And then Jesus, a little later in verse 32, pointed out that little faith is associated with those who have a pagan lifestyle, the people who are not really in any way associated or attached to God. Peter speaks about adding to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the basic text for today's lesson. And that's always a good thing. But we would point out that adding to our faith is not only good, but it is especially important if we have a limited faith. If you think about a small faith, Matthew 6, verse 30, you find that it is a very dangerous kind of faith. If we do not have much faith, then it does not take very much to remove the little faith that we do possess. If we have a small amount of faith, there is not much in place to keep us from developing a hard heart. If we have a small faith, then there's not much there to keep us going when things become difficult. It becomes very, very easy to give up. Having a small amount of faith can make it hard to apply some of the difficult teachings that we find in the scriptures. If we do not have much faith in God, some of the Christian life will at times seem impossible. So that's not really the kind of faith that we want. If we skip over two chapters in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, we are again reminded about faith, but this time, instead of small faith, we read about great faith. God tells us that it is possible to have great faith. And when Jesus heard it, Matthew says he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now, based upon the information that we have in this particular account, this man was not a child of Abraham. He was not part of the Hebrew religion. Nevertheless, Matthew tells us that he had great faith in Christ. It is hard to imagine how a person can become a strong Christian but not have great faith. As I think about faith, I might liken, I might compare it to a giant sack. Inside this sack, there are a number of qualities, the qualities that we typically find associated with Christianity. If our sack of faith is not very large, maybe it's like a lunch sack, then logic tells us that there's not going to be very much room for Christian qualities. But if our sack is like a 100-gallon sack, it can hold that much, or it can hold several bushels, then certainly it is large enough. There's enough room in the sack of faith to put a number of qualities in there and to have those qualities in abundance. If we're going to have the right kind of faith, then of course, initially we need a heart that is good and receptive. If we do not have a heart that is wide open to God and readily open to His Word, then we do not have a good or a solid foundation for faith. To have a life full of faith also means that we will have to have persistence. People of faith do not quit in the midst of adversity and conflict. for us, if we're going to have a right faith, we also need to have a proper or a correct understanding of God. If we do not understand God, then it's really impossible to have much faith. Knowing God is directly linked to faith. A person may say, well, I have some of those things. Can I know how much faith I have? Well, yes, you can. That's a good question, and we have a Bible answer to that question. If you have the sheet, you'll find that the next reference that we have cited is Matthew 9, verse 2, and that's also a passage that we want to read. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven. In this passage, we see that faith is something that can be seen. We can know if we and others have faith. This past week, I received an email about a preacher who was holding a seminar in another congregation. Maybe you saw it, maybe not. But this preacher said he had preached the morning sermon where he normally works or preaches, and he'd gone to another congregation some hours away to speak shortly thereafter. He arrived, and from the email, it sounded like he'd only been there a series of a few minutes, and someone else came into the building. And the visitor, he says, was dressed in a rather odd way. The visitor was wearing a sweatshirt and a baseball cap and had a bandana over his face. In the description, he said this fellow looked like he was out of some Western movie. Well, the man, as he entered the church building, had a gun. And he pointed the weapon at both preachers, one of whom was the guest preacher, and said, I want your money. Well, at first, the guest preacher and the fellow who was there on a normal basis thought it was a joke. They didn't have much faith. And they looked at that fellow, and they looked at his gun, and they laughed. They thought it was someone from the local youth group just playing a prank. Well, the gunman took that gun, and he pointed at the heads of the fellows, and he said, I want your money. Well, it didn't take long for them to conclude that it was not a joke, and they developed great faith in the fact that they were being robbed. The crook took the money from these two preachers, fled, and then the guest preacher preached 15 minutes later. Now, as you look at this particular situation, if these fellows could be here today, these two preachers, they would tell us that faith can grow. It certainly did for these guys. They had zero faith in this fellow being a robber, and yet they went to great faith. And faith, as you look at this account, we also see it's something that can be demonstrated. Well, a visible faith is certainly what we find being described in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. When a person has great faith, it's like this great sack, if you will, and they're able to put all these Christian qualities in it, that lines up very well with Peter and what he had to say. A person will demonstrate that kind of faith in many, many ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talked about two types of Christians. That's a very fascinating passage for a number of reasons. He said there are, on one hand, brethren who are like gold. And in this first category, he said, person may not be like gold, but the Christian may be like silver. Or a person may be like a useful stone, something like granite or marble. Then he said, as he was thinking about God's people, he said there are some other Christians who are in a second category. And some of these brethren are like wood. Now, wood is not a bad item. It's useful, it's valuable for a number of reasons, but it's certainly not as useful as gold or silver. And then he said in this second category, there are also some Christians who are like dried grass or even stubble, like the corn stalks that we see in the field after things have been harvested. Christians really, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, fall into two classes. There are the brethren who are useful, and he says there are brethren who are not useful. Well, as we look at our Christian life and our faith, we ask the question, are we like dried grass, wood, or leftover corn stalk? Or are we like the gold? Are we like the silver? Are we like the useful stones, such as granite and marble? Well, we know the answer to that question, and others can probably see it as well, the type of faith that we have. If we're in that second category, if we're like the corn stalk, God wants something different from us. God wants people who are like silver, people who are like gold, people who are like useful stones. And we can have those things if we develop the right kind of faith. We can correlate to this some information that we have in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. If you look at the context, you'll see that it relates to two fellows who were blind. They wanted their sight back. They were made aware of the fact that Jesus was in their area. They cried out for mercy, and Jesus responded. Well, Jesus said that they could be healed according to their faith. What if we take those two words and apply them today to our lives? What if God were to deal with us according to or based on our faith? If God responded to us according to our faith, what would we receive of him? Well, if our faith were small, Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, we would not expect to receive very much. But if our faith were great, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, we would expect to receive a great deal. So just how large, how great is our faith? Sometimes people, I think, look at faith and they somehow consider it to be independent of all things. Well, maybe I have some problems with faith, but that really doesn't matter. Faith is hard to separate from other parts of Christianity. As we stated earlier, faith is much like a bag. It contains, it holds many, many things. Jesus talked about this in our next reference, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. In the first part of this passage, Jesus talks about the religious leaders, and he says they were so scrupulous when it came to tithing. They went out to the gardens, and they kind of looked row by row and said, okay, here's what we have in this particular row. We're going to give 10% of that. And then the next row, they gave 10% of that. And they had great faith, or at least so they thought. They believed in God. They believed in the writings of the Old Testament, as well as Jewish traditions. But Jesus said they had some defects as far as their faith. At the end of verse 23, Jesus said, you've left undone the weightier matters of the law. And then he lists justice, mercy, and faith as those items. And then he says, these ought ye have done, and not to have left the other undone. Faith keeps company with certain other things, with many other things in the gospel. If, therefore, we have great faith, Matthew 8, verse 10, it will necessarily be the case that we have other qualities in abundance. If you show me a person who lacks love, you will show me a person who has limited faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now abides faith, hope, and love. Faith is not independent of other things. It goes right along with all the other characteristics and qualities that we find in the New Testament. Bring me a person who has limited hope, and you will bring me a person who has limited faith. Another illustration of this principle is found in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. Jesus and his disciples were on a boat. They were afraid. And Jesus asked them, why are ye fearful? At the end of that verse, Jesus asks them, have ye not faith? Fear goes hand in hand with little faith. Confidence and security go hand in hand with great faith. Jesus once cursed a fig tree. Peter saw this and he commented on it. And Jesus, do you remember what his response was? Have faith in God. Peter, faith is the key. Well, this is the same fellow who wrote the information about the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Before we have those graces, or if we want to develop all those qualities, there needs to be the sack in place. Faith needs to be there, and it needs to be the right kind of faith. Peter had to learn some things about faith. There were times in his life when he had a shallow faith. He had to grow, and he did grow. He got to a point where he did have great faith. We can get to that point as well, in part, by following some of the examples that we find in Scripture. Jesus' disciples began to understand some of the things that he was trying to tell them. So they reached a point where in Luke 17, verse 5, they said, Lord, increase our faith. We can see the value of importance of faith. We understand the value associated with faith, so increase it. Well, that sounds like a nice thing to do, and Jesus gave them a response. And in this regard, we want to cite our next passage. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 39. It's going to be a fairly long reference. But as we think about increasing in faith, sometimes that's a request that involves a little bit more than people may desire. We see that in Hebrews 11 because of what great people and great faith experienced. As you look at these folks, you find a pretty good overall view of some of the people in the New Testament, famous Bible characters, and you find out why they had great faith. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 23 and reading down through verse 39. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, foreseeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were swallowed up. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they had been compassed about for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot perished not with them that were disobedient, having received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight armies of aliens. Women received their dead by a resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And then the writer says in verse 37, there were those who were stoned. Some were sawn asunder, that they were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. Then in 38 and 39, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise. Great faith came from these people because they believed in God, they loved God, and they believed His word was right. Faith plus obedience led people to become strong children of God who overflowed with goodness in every possible way. You know, our society, I think, has a lot of problems with faith because it teaches people to be self-sufficient. When it comes to money, our society says, well, you work hard enough, you get the right education, and you can make it on your own. You can take care of it all by yourself. You do not need anyone else. And ultimately, that applies to God. When it comes to life, most people in this country and sometimes elsewhere think that they can get along just fine on their own. When it comes to health, people think, well, we have all the resources that we need. We surely do not need God. We have an understanding of diet. We have an understanding of exercise. We have a full range of drugs. And then if we want, we can go to the internet and even diagnose ourselves. When needed, we can go to a doctor, we can get an operation, or we can have somebody write out some kind of prescription and we'll be okay. Our society has some built-in barriers to having great faith. But God says to us throughout the New Testament, and Peter reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that if we want to be people who manifest, who have the Christian qualities that he describes, that Paul describes, that Jesus describes, the beginning point for that, the place where we start, is the right kind of faith. We need to have that sack so we can fill it up with all the great qualities that Peter lists. Not seeing a need for great faith prevents many people from seeking an increase in their level of faith. When people do not seek to increase their faith, they typically wind up with a very limited faith. Sometimes it's only when a person's back is against the wall that they begin to think about faith and God. But Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it's not when your back gets against the wall, but he simply says, add to your faith. Before we study those specific qualities, we need to ask ourselves, what about our faith? Is it small? Matthew 6, verse 30. Is it great? Matthew 8, verse 10. Or is it somewhere in between? Without the right kind of faith, we're not going to get off to a very good start. In fact, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need at least some faith. And we hope that each one here this morning has at least some faith. Is it enough faith in God that you have been motivated to become a Christian? Some people don't have that much faith. But if you have that much faith, have you taken the steps to become a child of God? With that belief, you're convinced that Christianity is the right way to go, so you've decided to repent. You've decided to live as God has told you to live in His Word. Has your faith led you to the fact that Christ is the Son of God and you've acknowledged that? And has faith led you to that process that we find in verses like Romans 6, 1 through 4, where the Bible says we die to sin, that's repentance. We're buried with Christ through baptism. And then the writer says, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Faith is involved in baptism. We have faith that God can and God will forgive our sins if we obey the process that He's given. And we hope that your faith has led you to that. Then we also hope if you have become a Christian, your faith has continued to move you forward to put on the qualities that we find in the Word of God. This morning, if there are some defects in your faith and we can help you in some way, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?